Amen. Amen. We are headed home. You know, God takes us through all sorts of seasons in this life, but we're always moving in the same direction, one way or another. And as we're going to talk about today, you know, as we continue this sermon series and in the story, and we go further into the wilderness and what the Israelites went through, just keep in mind that, you know, they were always still going to end up at that same destination. God had a place for them, and He has a place for us. And so last week, Pastor Don shared with us a little bit about how the Israelites were given the Ten Commandments through Moses, and how you know, once they figured out what God wanted and what He didn't want them to do, that everything went great, right? Right. Yeah, not so much. Nobody bought that. But at least we've figured out how to not complain like they did, as Pastor shared, right? And so last week, as Pastor was sharing and everything, you know, I felt convicted. I felt like the, you know, their story still resonated with me, like I could still put myself right there, even though there are certain times where, you know, if we're being honest, we've probably read some Old Testament history and stories and thought, you know what, they saw God do this and they saw Him do that. If I were there, right? Tell me if you've ever had these. If I were there, man, I would have had faith. I would have done what He said, because, I mean, He showed them, right? But really, aren't we there? Haven't we seen God's power move? Haven't we seen Him work time and time again and be Jehovah Jireh, our provider, and yet we still struggle and we have to be humbled, right? And so, yesterday we had a men's breakfast, had a great time, and want to say thank you to Austin for helping put that together. And he shared a video with us. We had some struggles getting started, but we got the video going, and you know, and it wasn't long after it was done that discussion ensued, and Chaz actually shared something with us that was relevant, and about how important it is to realize what sort of sources we're looking at when it comes to Christian truth, because there is, I'm gonna wave here. Hey, I see you.
Good job.
Because there's something so important about knowing where authority comes from, right? And so we want to be careful to look at the Word of God and let that be our source of truth. Amen.
Yeah.
That's where the authority is, and so I couldn't help but think of, you know, well, tomorrow's coming and we're going to be talking about the wilderness, and there were times when there was a bad report, and then there was the Lord's report. There was this report, and then here's what God said. We're still wrestling with that today. It's every bit as relevant for us. We're still having the same struggles that the Israelites had in the wilderness, even though we have an unfair advantage, really, because we're able, the whole reason, you know, that we've been going through this series with the story is because we have this book. We have the Bible. We have this history of humankind, where we've seen that over and over again, all throughout the Old Testament, God made it known that He loved us, that He wanted to be in relationship with us, and that He wanted to dwell with us. And then God would give us instruction, and we would receive that instruction. And just like the Israelites, a lot of times I feel like we're saying, okay, I got it. I can do this. I can do that. All right. Got it. Good. I know what my assignment is, Lord. We're good to go. And then 5 minutes later, we're back in the same place where we were, just like the Apostle Paul shared, you know, I'm doing the things that I don't want to do, and I, you know, I'm not doing those that I want to do. right? Have you ever been in that place? Because I feel like I come back to that over and over and over again. So I'm certainly no different than the Israelites who were out there in the wilderness. Even though I have this unfair advantage, I'm able to look at the story, right? I'm able to look at the story and try to draw some truths out of there and you know, things that are going to be applicable in my life, in my journey, and in my story. And yet I still need God's grace. And so, as I shared with the first service, you know, being asked to speak today, I feel like I got another easy assignment, because this is a really easy topic to talk about. It's easy to understand what's going on here in the wilderness, right? It's not complicated. We all have access to it. We can read the word and we can see that, hey, God told his people what to do. They thought they had it figured out, but then they got where they were moaning and groaning and complaining about things. Have you ever been maybe either the parent of a child, or maybe you've been the child at some point in time where you were complaining about what was for dinner? So, you know, there's the old adage, you get what you get and you don't pitch a fit. Well, even God had that issue with the Israelites. There's a point in time where he's given them manna from heaven and feeding them miraculously. And they get tired of it, and they want meat. They want something else to eat. You know, they don't want what's for dinner, you know. And in that case, God decides, you know what, I'm going to give you some meat, all right. And, you know, just like some child-rearing strategies that people have used in the past, God decides to say, you're going to get so much of the meat, though, that you're going to grow tired of it. And it was just another lesson to show that, you know, when you want to try to do your things your own way, it's not going to satisfy you. You're going to grow weary. You're going to get sick of your own ways. And so it's better to just go ahead and submit and be obedient to God, because then the wilderness, it's not the punishment that it would otherwise be when we try to do our own thing. I'm going to explain just briefly how easy this message or lesson really is, okay? You're going to see how easy this is. But the problem is not that we won't understand it. All of us are going to understand it. But it's tough to accept what it means for our lives. Because one of the other things that we discussed yesterday back there at that table at the men's breakfast is that there are still difficult times coming, right? There are going to be obstacles in our way. There are going to be trying times, and we're not going to necessarily like it, but there will be those times. Too often, you know, we're wanting to have that instant gratification, as we discussed, and that's not always what's going to happen, right? But what's important is for us to be faithful and obedient to the Lord, because as many preachers in the past have said, if God brings you to it, he will bring you through it. Amen? And so this is how easy it is. I want you to just picture a pill, okay? Just some sort of pill, whatever kind of common pill you might take for a common ailment, whether, you know, you're trying to take a, you know, something for a headache, or you got a cold, or, you know, you're trying to reduce a fever, whatever it is that you've got a mental image by now of a pill, right? We got a little north to south here. Yep, we've all got a pill. Now I want you to imagine that pill grows and it's a little bit larger. Now again, even larger than the first one and the second one that you imagined. And now once more. So I'm guessing that you probably got a pretty good sized pill there that you're imagining, right? Pretty tough pill to swallow at that point, right? You had no problem picturing the pill. You know exactly what it is, but it can get so big that it's difficult for us to accept what that inconvenient truth is, right? That's what the wilderness is. The wilderness is sometimes a tough pill to swallow. The wilderness is something that, you know, we feel like, God, why, you know, why am I being punished? Why do I have to go through this? You know, when really all we have to do is submit to the Lord and be obedient, and it won't be like it was for the Israelites. See, the Israelites, they were supposed to go on, if I'm not mistaken, about an 11-day journey, you know, 11 days. They could have made this journey just by being obedient to God. we wouldn't be having this discussion today if they had been obedient, right? And it's easy to go back, like I said, and say, you know, if I were there, if I had seen the Lord, you know, provide in this way, if I had seen him, you know, have Moses, you know, have water coming forth, you know, from a rock, if I had seen them, but not really. You know God's provided for you. You know God has brought you through something. And yet we still struggle and we're humbled by it because we always need his grace. Amen? So they were supposed to be on an 11-day journey, and it lasted 40 years. 40 years. So we're talking about how our disobedience to God only drags things out. Because, you know, what we see as impossible is only a matter of perspective. And when we look to the cross and we look to the empty tomb, we remember that all things are possible. You know, the video that Austin shared with us at the men's breakfast yesterday, it really focused on the authority that we give sources. And a reminder that God's truth and that the living word of God is that's the source of our truth. And that's the only word of authority right there. And so in the wilderness, it'll be revealed to us. You know, what are we giving authority? In the wilderness, we're going to be revealed to us. It's going to be revealed to us, you know, what's in our heart. Because the wilderness reveals our faith, okay? We're going to look at Numbers chapter 13, verses 30 and 31. It says, "Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, 'We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." So God told them to go and do something. They went there. They saw a big pill. They saw giants, and they started spreading a bad report. They started giving authority to a perspective and a twisted version of the truth. They weren't looking to the Lord. They weren't just submitting in obedience. And so they started spreading a bad report. In chapter 14, we'll continue. "That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, 'If we had only died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?' And they said to each other, 'We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly that was gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, 'The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them.'" So when the spies returned from their scouting there of the promised land, they saw giants, 10 of them. There were 10 people. They saw giants. And then there were two that saw opportunity. You got 10, they saw giants, two that saw opportunity. And so you've got a majority over here, and how often is it that's what we're battling? We're battling the majority of people because all of us are struggling with this. Most people are not focused on the Lord and what he has done. We have to be very intentional to stay in that place where we are submitting to God and His will, being obedient, so we're not bringing punishment on ourselves. Because the wilderness is not intended to be punishment. It's not. We bring that and we delay things by being disobedient to God, just as the Israelites did. And so when those spies returned, 10 saw giants, 2 saw God. 10 saw impossibility, 2 saw opportunity. The majority of them looked at the size of the problem. Only two of them looked at the size of their provider. That's what the wilderness does. It reveals what's in our hearts. It reveals our faith. You know, what are we giving authority to? When the journey gets long, when the job doesn't come through, when the healing hasn't happened yet, do we walk by sight or do we walk by faith? Sometimes God, He lets us walk through the wilderness, not because He's forgotten us, but because He wants to form faith in us. If everything came easy, we would never grow in trust. You know, sometimes I feel like blessings make us forgetful. It's so easy when we're cruising through life and you know, we feel like everything's going well that, oh, yeah, I did this. I accomplished this. I have arrived. It's so easy to fall into that. But we have to have something to hold on to, something to remember, to look back upon, that God has sustained us in the past and He's going to sustain us now and in the days to come. That's because faith isn't proven while we're in comfort, right? I mean, think about it. Whenever you've been in a season where things seemed like they were easy and you felt like everything was together, you didn't feel like you were bombarded with anxieties and stress, that's not the time that your faith is proven. It's not in that comfort. Your faith is proven in the desert. In Numbers chapter 21, begin with verse 8, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live.'" What's going on here is God allowed for snakes to come into their camp and allowed for them to be bitten. These were poisonous snakes, and they would have died without any form of assistance and without God's grace and provision. And so God tells Moses to make this snake and put it up on a pole and says, anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. God didn't have to do that, but that's part of the wilderness experience, because when you're in the wilderness, it reveals our need for God's grace, right? It's humbling. It's humbling, it is, but it reveals our need for grace. And, you know, after another round of complaining, because let's be honest, you know, just like us, the Israelites, they could have gotten gold medals in complaining for all the complaining that they did. God provides over and over and over again, and it seems like all we can ever do is complain and wonder, why me, God? When you know, when is this going to be over? How long am I going to have to suffer? How long am I going to have to go through this, Lord? But then He gave them a way out, and He said, look up and live. This points forward to Jesus, because that's what we do is we look up to the cross and the fact that the grave is empty, and that's where our healing comes from. And so even in judgment, God gave mercy. That bronze serpent pointed us to Jesus. God's message to Israel was the same as His message to us. You can't fix your sin, but if you'll look to Me, I'll heal you. Amen? And so we're reminded of our need for grace when we're in the wilderness. You know, last night I got a phone call from a young man, that I love and haven't really communicated with him in a while. And if I'm being honest, the phone call came at a very inconvenient time. Actually, two different inconvenient times. You know, I actually had a pretty busy day yesterday. As I mentioned, I came to the men's breakfast, had some great fellowship, And then a portion of our family that's from this area of Florida got together, a couple different branches, and had a family reunion. And so I went to that and saw some cousins and different folks, you know, that I haven't seen in a while. Had more good fellowship. But in the back of my mind, I had it that, I've got to prepare for tomorrow morning because I don't do this week in and week out, you know. When pastor asked me, you know, to fill in here, I take that very seriously, and I don't like being unprepared. I don't know many people who do. And so I thought I still need some more time to study. I still need to prepare. You know, God, I want to be able to be obedient and serve you in a powerful way, you know, but here I am. I go to the men's breakfast, then I go to the family reunion. I get a phone call that takes me away from the people that, you know, we had set an appointed a time to meet with. And I'm on the phone maybe 20 minutes or so and letting this young man know that, hey, you know, I'm going to have to call you back. I don't want to be rude. I want to get back in here to these people. But then when I talked to him later on yesterday evening, it turned into an over 3-hour phone call. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm not in the habit of talking to anybody for over 3 hours. You know, I mean, I may love you to death, but if we have a phone call for over 3 hours, I may literally be loving you to death. I mean, that's a long time to be talking to someone on the phone. And unfortunately, I was thinking to myself, this is not a convenient time for this type of phone call. It's not, God. You know, God, I need to be studying. I need to be preparing for tomorrow morning. And, you know, but the thing was that this young man that called me, he was struggling with whether or not he needed to give up, whether or not God still remembered him, and whether or not everything that he's going through is punishment, you know. These are you know, questions and thoughts that many of us have experienced. And if I'm honest, you know, I'm going through that call, and I love this young man. I'm trying to pour into him and be encouraging. But as time went on, if I'm being honest, I'm still thinking, we got to wrap this up. You know, when's this phone call going to be over with? I got to get back to work and prepare for this, right? I mean, is that okay for me to say? That's what was happening. I'm just being honest. And then I realized it was like God was just telling me, Menachem, I've put something right here in front of you, right here and right now. This is your assignment. This is your assignment right now. Not tomorrow. Not whatever you have on the agenda, whatever you've planned, you know. And I believe God blesses our plans and preparation. Don't get me, I do. I believe that all the preparation that, you know, the whole team here and all the volunteers and everything that has to be done in order to make a worship service like this happen, God blesses those efforts and He multiplies them. And I'm so grateful for that. But last night God was telling me something different. And the thing was, is I'm so hard-headed, and I have to admit in front of you and the Lord today that I am no different than those Israelites, even though I have this unfair advantage of being able to look back at the story to be able to learn from the mistakes that they made. I still had a humbling experience as recent as last night where God had to use a flashing sign over and over and over again. Let me tell you just how simple God made it for me. And I still had to be humbled and realize that I need His grace. This young man calls me and he says, man, I know I should have called you before, once we're able to get a little bit deeper, you know, last night in this phone call. And he said, I know I should have called you before, you know, but this has been going on for 40 days. He said, this has been going on for 40 days. And then he says, And I feel, you know, it's making me think. I just thought about it today. Today's the 40th day, and it made me think about the wilderness. But I'm still not getting it at this point. God's got this flashing sign. I've been preparing you for this. I've been preparing you for this is what God is trying to tell me. And I'm just one little person out of billions and billions of people. There's nothing great about me. I'm no more or less than any other person. But God chose to use me. And there's nothing more incredible than that. To know that God has used you. And the thing is that moment is something that I will carry with me from here forward. And every time that God makes his presence known and shows us, hey, look, you've been saying I can't do this on my own. And you're right. But it's okay. I got you. God has grace for us in those moments. And God is going to carry us through. And he has protection for us. We've got to remember that God's past faithfulness builds confidence for tomorrow's battles. Because it's a hard pill to swallow. But there are still difficult times coming. There are. I want you to know the truth. There are still difficult times coming, and there will be times when we may look back and feel like, oh, we're in the wilderness. And it may feel like punishment, but I promise you, it is not punishment. That is not the purpose of the wilderness. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning with verse 2, it says, remember how the Lord God led you all the way in the wilderness for these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart. Whether or not you would keep his commands, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. That last little scripture, really, really quick, right after, you know, we'll come back to the man does not live on bread alone. But that last little bit, your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Think about that for just a moment. Your clothes didn't wear out. You're wandering in the desert. Your feet never swell. You know, they're complaining just like we complain, going through all these things. And yet God still had protection for them. Their feet didn't swell. God had prepared them, even as he was continuing to prepare them for what was to come. And, you know, I've been on road marches with soldiers, and, you know, we didn't march 40 hours, you know, much less 40 years. My feet were swollen, blistered, you know, and no matter how much you prepare, there's all sorts of tricks, you know, people take like stockings and, you know, different materials to try and, you know, make it so you don't get blisters and stuff. But it doesn't take very long for our feet to swell. You know, so to imagine that 40 years go by wandering in the desert, and it was important enough to mention here, it's just another reminder that God can do things that seem impossible. He can do things that, you know, when circumstances seem bleak to us, it doesn't matter to God. It doesn't surprise him, and it doesn't hold him back. But this word right here, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. A lot of you may hear that, and it may sound familiar, but not just from this Old Testament passage. And that's because in two of the Gospels, and in Matthew, I'm going to read here specifically from chapter 4, we read, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's authority. That's authority to say that I don't have to have bread because I have the living word of God. Amen? That is the authority that we have. And that's the type of authority and truth that we need to remember so that we can fortify our faith. Fortify your faith. Fortify your faith. Fortify your faith with the living word of God. There was a group of Jesus followers that returned to him in Luke chapter 10. And they said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. That's authority. And in verse 19, Jesus says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Nothing will harm you. That's authority. You know, maybe you're going through some sort of wilderness right now. You know, maybe you're waiting for direction or healing. Maybe you've been wondering, you know, if God still sees you. You know, and last night as I was on that phone call, when it finally hit me and I finally understood, I just dug in and just decided, you know what, God, I'm here to listen. And until I felt the time and released to pray with that young man, I stayed on the phone with him, and I'm just reminded that, you know, if it's not good yet, then it's also not over. All right? So maybe some of you are in that place today where you're like, God, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I don't know what to do, Lord. I don't know why this is happening, you know, and this is not good. But I feel like God is telling us that if it's not good, it's not over yet. But he still has grace for us, and he still has that protection. Nothing is going to harm you. Nothing. And I mean that in a very literal sense, in that everything that happens in this world, God's not surprised by it. God is not surprised by it, and this is temporary. He says nothing will harm you. I'm going to put my faith in him. I'm going to believe that no matter what comes my way, God has a greater plan. And he says that he has plans for us to prosper, right? So he has good plans for us. I'm going to believe that report because his word and his name have authority. Amen? Amen. And the wilderness, as I said, it's not punishment. We need to remember today that the wilderness is not punishment. The wilderness is preparation. Yeah. Amen? It's where faith grows deep, grace runs wide, and remembrance becomes our anchor. So don't give up. Don't lose heart. God is with you. Put your trust in him because his promise still stands and he is leading you home. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. God, we acknowledge that your ways are higher, that your word is truth. God, we choose today to believe your report, God, and not that of the enemy. We know that because of Christ, all things are possible. God, we were reminded today to look up to you. God, to remember the sacrifice on the cross. God, to remember that the grave is empty. And to remember that you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider, and that you alone are our deliverer. God, we thank you today for that which you've delivered us from in the past. And God, for being present with us even in this moment, God. God, we know that you will provide a way. God, we thank you for anything that comes at us in the future, God. We know that you're there too. God, we know that you are our provider and that it doesn't matter. We're not going to live by sight. We're going to live by faith, believing and practicing remembrance of you and your deliverance, God. God, too often we forget, but God, today we choose to remember. We choose to remember your provision and your deliverance. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.